I want to start off in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. We'll start. It's the story of David. And this, the whole purpose of the last few weeks, like we read Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, and Joel 3:10 a few weeks ago. And one says, beat your plowshares into swords, and the other one says, beat your swords into plowshares. No contradiction. It's the issue that we've got to come to is God is a living being. He's sovereign, and he isn't going to line up with our doctrines. We have to line up with him. And that's where our walk with him takes on the substance and the reality of having to stay in the spirit to continue to be in touch with him. So this chapter here, 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 17, is a story. It's the second story. Well, it's the story of David and his second set of victories. He just has become king. And we will get to the first story. That's where he takes Jerusalem. But this particular one really illustrates the need for us to stay current with God in our own personal conquests within our own hearts. If we don't have conquests in our own hearts, we're not going to be able to help others have their own conquest. The Christian life is one of victory. And like God said to Joshua in the book of Joshua, he said, I've given you the whole land, but that which your feet walk in, that's what's going to really be yours. So our inheritance in God, our place of growing under his authority, is going to be to the measure of our own spiritual victories internally, externally, and we all know we've got a few battles left to fight with, which God has graciously provided us opportunities to grow into that authority that he is going to unveil through you guys in these days ahead. So internal victories will always bring a greater seeing of him in your own heart and life. So maybe we'll get someone to read 2 Samuel chapter 5, 17 through 25.
When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood. Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal Perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go up. Go around to their rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of them marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself. For then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. And David did as the Lord commanded him and struck down the Philistines from Geba to Gibeah.
Isn't that good? But you'll notice a lot of different things here for us in terms of our own experiential battles with the enemies within our own heart. And maybe just to tie that in with New Testament truths, we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. So if someone wants to read that. We'll start at verse 3 to give a little context.
For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your disobedience is complete.
When your obedience is...
Sorry, yeah, obedience. Yeah.
Got it.
That's right.
Yeah. So we see the nature of warfare in the Old Testament was external, but Paul is bringing us into the place of realizing that our warfare is first internal, and we still war outwardly as well, but in a whole different way. But you'll notice here when David's up against the Philistines heard that David was king, and they're going like, let's see what this guy's made out of. And so when you first become a Christian, the enemy isn't going to give up his territory to you. He's going to try to hold on to that territory and keep it. And we're still good. Thanks.
I don't know why the screen goes to sleep.
So we have this call to battle, and David was just fresh king. And I love the first conquest he had, but the second conquest shows to us the necessity of walking in the Spirit. So the first time he comes up against the Philistines, he goes one way, and then the second time, you notice he doesn't just go out there again because, hey, I've already beat him once, this will be a piece of cake. And God says, no, we're going to do this differently. And so for you and I to be active, for you and I to know the victories of the Lord, we got to walk in His Spirit. And the interesting thing about internal warfare is we've seen the enemy and he is us. So you got something in you that isn't really wanting to take all this stuff on. And usually our biggest battles are the ones that we least want to give up. And so, but God is recapturing our will. He's the beauty of the work of God is he's here to capture our will through the power of love. Love is the thing that enables us to rise up against the issues of our heart. And it came to me years ago, God gave me a word that said the greater... In every individual in the world, the greatest love in their hearts will triumph in the end. So a man who, whatever they love, if it isn't unseated by the love of God, that love will eventually conquer them. It could be the love of, in my own personal experience before I knew the Lord, love of self, love of being inebriated and all that was my love, and most of my friends are dead from that lifestyle. But God comes and He puts a love in our hearts that begins to exert itself over the lesser loves. So, you know, like the parable of the pearl. This guy's out looking for pearls. He's got all kinds of affections. He's out there. But when he sees the pearl of great price, everything else becomes subservient to the pearl. And so it is with God. And so David is here going up against the Philistines. And remember, quite some time ago, we discussed some of the names of the enemies of the land of our inheritance. And Philistines means to wallow in pity, to come under condemnation, to beat down. We all know that enemy pretty well. And here's David going against him. He's taking him on. He's saying, I'm not coming under that accusatory spirit. And what thing I like is the first time it says here, but David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. There's a powerful truth for you there. If you're going to fight your enemy, you're going to fight the enemies of your heart, you got to find Christ as your stronghold. You don't fight him in your own energy, your own self. You You burrow yourself into the one that is able to defeat all things. You don't attack these things in your own strength. And God is ever calling us to the stronghold. He is, one of his names is, he's a stronghold for those that put their trust in him. And it's in our trusting in him that we find our victories. So the first time David goes down to the stronghold, and then the Philistines come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. There's a whole powerful truth there. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines?" So even in, there's all kinds of provocations in the spirit trying to get you to move against different things. You've got to have that word from God. Because you can lose peace. I've taken on battles that God wasn't ready for me to take on yet. And you lose your peace, you get your rear end kicked all over the battlefield, and God is, he waits. He's a good teacher. He loves you. He's committed to you. And so his first inquiry is, "Shall I go up against the Philistines?" And what does God say? "I will certainly give them into your hand." And you got to hear that word for you. You've got enemies that you've contended with. And half of our battles is we don't go into the stronghold. We try to fight something in ourselves. And usually in your heart, you know you're beat before you get started, because you're not in the stronghold. And so the secret to the victories of God in you is that you go into the stronghold of him who is your victory. And so David went up and totally defeated them. And this is an interesting thing. And David came, and therefore, in verse 20, "Therefore the name of the place was Baal Perazim." And David named it that. And Baal, it's one of the few places in the scriptures, there's a couple more, where Baal is referred to God. And Baal means Lord. It there's a verbal form and a noun form. And I'll read you so I don't mess it up. Baal means to exercise dominion over, to own, control, or be lord over. So this is early on in David's reign. And you got to recognize, let's just take a little trip here to Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Because you've got to see yourself as being called to be a king. You know, everybody thinks, oh, that's a special thing. We read here, "To him," oh, I love this, "to him that loves us and has freed us from our own sins by his blood and has made us a kingdom," King James, I kind of like the King James in this, "and made us kings and priests unto God." You've got, you know, half the problem we got today with the church in North America is we're saved, we sit on pews, and we're going to have a house on Hallelujah Avenue. There's the gospel today. Well, God says, to him that loved us, he is what? He has made us kings and priests. Well, how do you become a king? Well, you gotta win your own kingdom. You got to rule and reign within your own being. And so God here is establishing David as a king. And there's nothing more contagious. That's a big word today. There's nothing more contagious than victories in your own life. It is a very contagious and powerful feeling. And when you taste of those victories, it just... man, we just want more of it. And then as you start feeling the conquering power of God in your life, you want to see others begin to conquer. You want to see that guy that's down on the street in the gutter, some of these big cities, you want to see them rise up because you know victories. And so God is working to bring you into your own kingdom where you are a king within your own heart. And like it says in the New Testament, God has called us to rule and reign with him. Well, that starts here and now. That starts with the spiritual victories that... and so God right now is moving in David to touch and taste of the victories and the power of God in a new place. He was a shepherd. He was a general for a while in Saul's army. But now he is king. And all Israel, when... You know, you're following, you know, in political realms, someone that's having victory and doing right things, that people get behind you. It unites Israel. And so David prayed in one of the Psalms, he said, "Unite my heart." And part of that uniting is you and I overcoming the dissonant issues of our own heart. Those things that deter us from the united heart within us. And as we get united in our heart, God is able to unite us with others. And the world, once again, is going to see the unity of the body of Christ. How can we have unity when there's disunity within our own heart? And so God always starts with you. That was a word the Lord gave me many years ago. I was angry with him. Discouraged. I was tired of all the little tidy fellowships that I've been involved with. Tired with the big churches. And I said, "Lord, I don't want anything to do with any of it." And he spoke to me, clear as can be, and he said, "Why don't we start with you?" Last thing I wanted to hear. Because everybody else has got issues, you know. But not me. I'm just done with it all. So, God wants to bring you into your own personal victories. And the name of the place is Baal Perazim. Baal, like we've already gone through what Baal means, the verb of it. The noun of it means Lord, Master, and even Husband. And so God's issue with the Israelites throughout most of their history was they kept taking on another husband. Baal, whatever. Baal always attaches itself to something else. But here, Baal, as Lord, as Master, as one bringing dominion, David says, this place, and you'll come to the place where you start remembering your victories. And the Israelites would sometimes raise monuments. Sometimes they would speak and say, this land from here on in is Baal Perazim. This is a new name because I've come into a new land, and that land is now mine. And therefore, God changes the name of it. And so it says in the book of Revelation, to him that overcometh will I give what? A new name that no man can receive except the one to whom God has given it. So there's personal victories will bring you into new names in heavenly places. And we want a new name? That ain't a good teaching. That's the result of spiritual victories in your own heart and mind. And so that's a huge thing. And so you put those two together. It's the Lord of breaches is what Baal Perazim means. Is he the Lord of breaches in your where you're breaching into strongholds in your own heart? You're breaching into those areas, those things that have hindered you from walking with God. And so David says this is his first conquest outside of Israel. And he's taking land from from his enemies. And that's the whole purpose of the Christian walk, is that we begin to take land from the enemy of our souls. We begin to step on him, as it says, God's promise to Adam in the garden was, he will wound your heel, but you will crush his head. And it says in the New Testament that God will crush Satan under your feet. With what? Peace. See, the enemy lives. The environment the enemy lives in is animosity, angst, stress. Those are the places the enemy lives. That's where that's his, you know, chaos and dissension in the body of Christ. He's right at home there. We've made a place for him when we allow that. And so the God of peace, that's what it says, the God of peace shall what? Crush Satan under your feet. And as you begin to walk and have victories in your life, as you begin to take on more and more of the enemy in your heart, there comes a peace going, this is coming down. Doesn't matter how many times this thing rises its head against me, it's going down. And so we end up with a faith that just cannot be defeated. One brother of mine said it. He said, I'm like the punching thing, you know, you hit it and it goes down. It comes. He says, I'm up against something. And that thing is, him and I are at it, you know. And he personalized it. And he said, every time it hits me, I just keep coming right back up because I'm going to win. I'm going to overcome this thing. And the enemy wins by wearing you down. And that's why one of the fruits of the Spirit is called endurance. I don't like the word patience. The Greek word actually means endurance.
Who does?
Yeah, Linda can testify to that. My kids can testify to that. But it's endurance. That's the real meaning of that word. To me, patience is like stagnation. But endurance means you're in it. You know, it speaks of something totally different.
Maybe it's a patient endurance.
Patient endurance. That could work. And so where was I here? And then the Philistines came yet again. Huh, interesting. These aren't always one-time victories. Yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. That's an awesome word there. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go up. Go round to their rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. But God doesn't stop there. Now God's bringing him into something far deeper in learning. Now he's coming into a place of timing. See, before God said, I'm with you. And he just goes out there and takes them on. This time God says, you're going to come around from behind. And you're going to wait until you hear the sound of marching. What is that sound? That's a heavenly host marching with David. And God is bringing you and I into deeper places in the Spirit. And allow him to discipline you, which is an area that I'm still learning in, because that does have some implications in patience. Where you wait. There are things, there are timings in God, there are purposes in God, and if we get out of sync with him, we're going to get our tush kicked. And that's where God, see, I mean, there's, his school doesn't ever end, because his school is really, if you want a word to define the new covenant, it's relationship. It's an obedience that comes from relationship, where the Old Testament is just obedience, trying to walk out God's commands in your own power, which never worked for them, and it'll never work for you. And so, but just recognizing these two victories, we see the depth of God unfolding to David. In the first victory, what David could have done is what everybody else does. They have their victory and then they write a book on it. And this is how you do it. Here's my book. Here's the how-to. Well, the second time, God says, We're going to do this differently. And so you and I have got to ever be schooled in the way of God. And this will have value. You guys, sooner or later, you're going to run across people that got demons in them. You're going to run across all kinds of things. And you got to know God. You got to know His way with you. Doesn't matter His way with somebody else. We had in my history, we had an 18-year-old girl that was taken by a spirit, and God sent someone. Man, it was powerful to watch because I didn't know a thing about spiritual warfare back then. And anyway, this guy started ministering to her, and there was manifestations, and things were happening. And so we got to the end of the night. We were going to continue in the morning. But some people, they were saying, well, we contacted somebody, and they said that's not how it's done. So we had dissension in our midst. That girl died. What does the enemy do? He brings dissension. That's his battleground. And he'll win every time when there's dissension in the body of Christ. So this whole issue here, the first victory, those are awesome victories. But recognize that the God of gods is bringing you in to such a relationship with Him that you discover His way for, this is His victory through you. But it's also your victory because you're in Him. And so with all of the issues of life, if there's nothing else I leave with you is just recognize the secret of the new covenant is relationship, not doctrine. Oh, this is how we do it. Oh, really? Well, the King of Kings isn't going to fit into your little square. He's always different. And David had enough sensitivity to comprehend that the way of victory for the first time, this is a walk, not a owner's manual. This is something where, and God is, He's bringing you guys in to deep places because the book of Revelation says all hell's going to be released. Signs and wonders, false signs and wonders in the name of Jesus are coming. They're already here, but God only allows them to come to the place of His, where His elect is. Elect doesn't mean you're just super special. The elect means that He has elected you by grace to walk in something. If you don't walk in it, you'll lose your election. I can show you that in the scriptures. People take it and they get arrogant with it. But Peter says, wherefore, brethren, make your calling and election sure. And there's a list of things. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. And so, and then he goes on and says, if you do these things, they will make you neither barren nor unfruitful, and so an entrance into the kingdom of God will be ministered unto you. You want to be a king and a priest in God? Victories. The development of the graces of Christ within you. And so when people talk about elect, you're going to run across, I know groups of people that are totally understand election, but they understand it from a teaching, which will make you proud if you understand what election is in truth. It makes you humble yourself and say, Lord, I like one place. I mean, all these scriptures, you're reading them and all of a sudden God breathes on them and it just, but there was one psalm I was reading not that long ago. And David said to the Lord, let thy vows be upon me. Isn't that good? Let that election rest on me. Let that election perform in me the qualities of my heart, that your election may come into full fruition. I really like that. That's good stuff. But anyway, we are God's looking for anticipating. He has joy with his kids. What does it say in, I forget which Old Testament book, but it says, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He will joy over you with singing. When you have victories in Christ, he's going, that's my boy, that's my girl right there. See that? I mean, that's what God said to Job, to Satan. Have you seen Job down there? Oh, yeah, well, that's because you... Well, have at him. He's going to stand. Because I know my Job. And we want God to know us. We want God to know us as one that is faithful and one that is... able to stand in the dark places. There's victories to be had in dark places. Later on, David comes to, well, earlier, actually, David has an experience called Ziklag. And it got so bad that his own men wanted to stone him. The guys that have stuck with him thick and thin. And, of course, he led him into the land of the Philistines and even tried to align him. He was so mad at Israel with Saul that he was ready to join the Philistines and fight Saul. God's going, well, I think I have better things for you than that. And I think it's maybe one of the places that David learned some deep, deep truths. But in the midst of all that was going on with David and Ziklag, David came to the lowest point, one of the lowest points in his life, and it says, David encouraged himself in God. And he rose up and found the victory. So there's going to be those times in your life. And hopefully you'll remember me in those times. Where you go, oh yeah, David encouraged himself in his God. So anyway, just recognize that God is, he's called you to be a king. Rulership. Ruling and reigning. Great teachings. Great doctrines. I mean, it's right there in the Word. But unless we walk it out, it remains black and white ink on a page, rather than the substance of him in our lives. And it says in Daniel, they that know their God shall do exploits. It doesn't say they that have all the teachings of God shall do exploits. They that know their God. Where did they know him? In the place of battle. And if you read somewhere around like Psalm 140 to 150, there's a lot of psalms in there about victory. Blessed be the name of the Lord who teaches my fingers to fight and my hands to war. And start reading those psalms and let the faith of God begin to rise in you to the place of going into the stronghold of your own relationship with God. This stronghold is personal because the victories are personal. And go to the stronghold of God and let him arm you with a faith. Like John says, this is the victory. Even our faith. Your faith. You know, Tim can't walk in Mike's faith. Mike can't walk in Tim's faith. It's your faith that brings you your victory. And so may God breathe into you, because the days are at hand. You are going to be confronting with demonized people. It's inevitable. And I had a friend of mine that had that call. He had a call of deliverance. He'd walk into a room and someone with a demon would just start doing the, like, he was in Bible school, and their doctrine was that a Christian couldn't have a demon. That was their teaching. And so he's been arguing with his roommate for half a year in school, and this weird kid that was going to the Bible school walks into his room and starts going like a snake on the floor and attacked his roommate. So here's this guy attacking his roommate, and he said his roommate's going, I rebuke you, you know, like just pathetic, you know. And he took command of the situation, but they didn't have any more issues with that was kind of an object lesson for the young guy. So, but who's he in you? That's and what are the victories that he's ordained for you? And more important, out of the womb of your own victories comes the ability to bring others into their own victories.